I am your homeless host, Kyle.
Homeless host.
Yeah, joined with my great friend here and fellow nerd,
Ryan Demarest.
Yes, yes. And we are the Experience Grind podcast, where we take things that we might not fully enjoy, but somebody does, yeah. And we will grind that experience out, hence the name. We are very, very smart. Thank you. We take awards for that.
Yeah, it's a lot more than just like reviewing or critiquing things. It's about the experience.
We try to do the whole thing. Yeah. If we review a game, we are going to try to do that whole game. That's why we schedule the things that we do in the way that we do. Please feel free to reach out at us. You can reach us at our email, experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. We are on the Facebook, Experience Grind Podcast, and we have a website, which is just experiencegrind.com. Check us out there. Reach out to us. You know, if you got things you want us to maybe review or check out, let us know. We will do that. We'll call you out on the show.
Yeah.
We'll get like 0.2 credits of internet anonymity. Or
I like the anonymity.
You don't want to be anonymous if you're getting the points, though. I kind of probably botched that a little bit.
Yeah, I know. We should probably give you credit.
Yeah, you will get full credit.
You will get credit.
And you can put that in your internet points bank.
Also, please feel free to send in comments or review us or
rip us
things
apart.
You like, things you don't like.
When
let
we
us
screw
know.
Up in a previous episode like you did with your Scott Pilgrim.
I'm
going to call you out right here. You called it on the show when it was really Anne who makes it.
Maybe it's not. It's Anne.
And
her.
Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, her. Her?
Her.
Her?
Egg?
Let's hope she's funny.
She funny or something?
So, so she makes the appearance in Scott Pilgrim. Not maybe. We're correcting this 2 episodes late because that's how we roll. And if you don't like it, deal with it.
Yeah. But if you notice any mistakes, feel free to send them in.
Call us out. That's
we make several of them.
Let us clarify right now. We are dorks/nerds, not experts.
No. We are not historians.
Nope. We're just telling you how we feel about things.
Yes.
And, it's kind of a...
Though
New
we
age.
We have notes, but this is mostly off the cuff, so mistakes will be made. You know, we would love to hear what we messed up on. So
nobody
write
likes
in.
Anything more than being told how much they suck.
So I know.
Reach
I love
out
it.
To us, internet. Let us know, please. Thank you.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and start this baby off. This will be episode number 4.
It is episode number 4 already,
which is our top 5th ranked video game. We're into the video games, people.
Mm-hmm.
I will be discussing my experience with The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. And I will be discussing Halo Combat Evolved for the Xbox.
Yes. But you did play the Xbox 360 version.
I did. And I'll talk about that more
once we get into it.
So but
let's break this ice a little bit. You know, we like to talk a little bit, let people know who we are as people and what we go through. This question that I'm going to ask you was actually presented to us by our sound engineer, Mr. Andrew Hartman.
Our wonderful sound engineer.
And he asks us, if you could have your favorite controller attached to your favorite gaming system, what would it be?
So you're essentially hodgepodging and making your ultimate system.
And they work perfectly.
Yes. All right. So I have an idea.
Okay.
I put no thought into this before. So again, off the cuff, this is it.
Here it is.
All right. Favorite controller. Controversial. The original Xbox controller. Controller S, not the Big Duke.
I was going to ask.
The Duke is too
not
big.
Fat boy, but
yeah, it hurts my fingers.
I agree with that.
I love the controller S. Yeah. Yeah. I like it better than the 360. I like it better than the Xbox One. I think it's the perfect controller. I'm not crazy about the location of the black and white buttons, but I will put up with it because the joysticks are great. I love that feel. So that would be my controller.
Just to interject, my one complaint with the Xbox controllers, all of them, they have the worst goddamn D-pads. Fix the fucking D-pad, Mike.
How hard? Yeah, just copy Nintendo or Sony.
Or Sony.
Because they both have their D-pads now.
Because they have that one weird where it's like a circle on a pivot point. And
it's essentially just like another little thumbpad. Or not a thumbpad, but like a thumbstick.
Speaking of, you are playing Symphony of the Night right now.
I am.
Object.
Yes.
And I should have, and we will actually... I have a better controller for you. I have a Razer Xbox controller that has a much better D-pad, and since that is a 2D side-scrolling game, I will let you borrow that, and it will treat you so much better.
Yeah, I'm not using the 360 controller right now. I'm using the one of the fight pads for Street Fighter.
Okay.
So it's like a flat arcade pad with a nice D-pad that really...
Then never mind. I rescind the offer.
I am.
Go screw yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will screw myself now. I deserve that. No, it's
That's what you already understand. It's a shitty D-pad.
It is.
D-pad.
I love the Xbox more than anybody. Like, it's... But, yeah, they've... floundered on their D-pad.
God damn. So, okay. Going back into it.
Lots of flaws.
Yes.
But I still love that controller. So that would be my controller. And then my system, the best system all around. Oh, man. This is a tough one. But I really think the 360 has everything laid out. And this is my fanboy coming out.
That's all right.
I prefer it to... One, it can do a lot of stuff. So you get YouTube. You get all the stuff on it. I like the clean layout of the windows on it, and I guess you would compare it to the PS3 at the time that has the crossbar. Yeah. I fucking hate the crossbar.
The X bar, I believe.
X bar.
Yes.
I hate the Sony bar. It is horribly laid out. Like, I don't play the PS3 as often as I do the 360, so maybe that's why I'm not familiar with it, but, like, trying to update the system, like, trying to find, like, where your games are saved, trying to find out where your data is saved... You have to go to, like, the most fucking counterintuitive places in there. It's the 360 is like system, memory. That's where everything's at. It's just like, it's like a computer. It's what we've grown up on. It's a step away from Windows. It is very intuitive. And I like that system.
So I like about what just happened here is that I already sensed that there will probably be at some point some controversy between us just based on our separate fanboyisms.
I know.
You are an unabashed Microsoft fan. And I like Microsoft.
Yeah.
But I am hands down an unabashed Sony fan.
Yes.
I will admit the massive flaws the PS3 has.
It's really, really only that bar. I hate the layout of that bar.
Not only that bar. They have
I don't have any other issues. I don't mind the game installs. I don't mind a lot with the PS3.
Don't even get me started on game installs. I think the PS3 is the worst PlayStation system that's ever been released.
Worse than the PS1?
Absolutely. The PS1 worked flawlessly. It was
a developer's
dream. Like, what I hate about the PS3 is that they tried to make their own operating system, and in turn that made it a bitch for anybody that wanted to cross-platform to the PS3.
Yeah,
I know it's just.
I remember hearing a lot of troubles during that time with third party games. Like, they hated
and even
developing
people
for
that
PS3.
Developed just for the PS3, like Sony in house people had.
Yeah,
that's why it took the Gran Turismo series forever to come out.
But in fairness, the people who did like came out with some amazing looking games. Was it the cell processor was in the PS3 that was like the big thing that was very different architecture. Mm-hmm. Looks amazing. Like, look at Heavy Rain or like the Uncharted. Like, the best looking games of last generation.
But yeah, I agree. I mean, you have to do a lot of work to get good stuff out of it, and that's why I'm still, you know, I know that they changed a lot for the PS4 era, and the PS4 is, I guess, a dream to program on. From what I've I know nothing of programming, as I shared with you when I was trying to set up our brand new website. Check us out at experiencegrind.com, everybody.
Which should probably be up by the time this podcast
I would hope
out,
so. If not, we have some serious fucking problems. So you're going with Xbox controller S.
Yes.
Which is a really good controller. I had a lot of fond memories of that, playing massive amounts of Halo and Halo 2.
Yes.
With the Xbox 360. So if you could somehow configure it to work there, that would be your dream.
That would be. And I'll probably kick myself in the ass when I think about a console later. I'll be like, oh, maybe this one is better, but I don't know.
I'm going to agree and also probably break the mold a little bit.
Let's go for it. I'm very curious as to what you're going to say as a Sony fanboy.
Well, and that's for a Sony fanboy, none of my choices are Sony. I will go ahead and play that right now. My favorite controller and the best controller, and this is based on my personal experience and just hours of use.
I think I know.
Is going to be the Xbox 360 controller.
Interesting. Okay.
And because I live this every day, the system it's attached to is my personal computer.
Oh, all right, so...
I'm cheating, I know.
I think that's a cheat, yeah.
It might be a cheat. If it is a cheat, I will go... Xbox 360 controller on a Dreamcast, because Dreamcast is probably my favorite system. But
I have no experience with the Dreamcast.
Oh, wow.
I missed out, and then I played games as they ported to other systems.
Wow. Okay. So we will do some Dreamcast heavy episodes in the future, because for real, Dreamcast was one of my favorites.
I missed I went straight to PS2. Oh,
man. I got Dreamcast, and then I was so sad when it died.
Yeah.
But a lot of time spent playing Phantasy Star Online and Phantasy Star Online 2.
Again, I wish I had more contact with those series, because I played the one that was released for 360.
That's so bad.
It's miserable.
So bad, dude.
That was
so
a grind of a game.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. But, so I'm going to stick with this answer, though, in the 360 and the PC, because I do a lot of my playing that way now. You know, I've grown up as a console kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I feel very firmly that if not this cycle, the next console cycle will most likely be the last of home consoles. That's just me personally.
Interesting. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's going to happen.
I do, just because of the way that the computer is integrating itself into every aspect of our life.
Yeah.
I see that coming. For a couple of, I also see my... Dude, physical games, I don't know why they even still exist.
I mean,
outside of the massive size of a game.
All right.
You know, please disagree with me. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not trying to interrupt you. No. Gosh, there are so many points there. So, all right, talking about just the PC dominating the market and everything, like Apple is trying to get into the game scene and make a console.
It's
like,
going to be hard.
The Steam boxes are a thing. So, like, they're kind of trying to make a... console, kind of, but not really. It seems just like a specialized PC. But
exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I just don't see it going away, because physical media isn't going away. And as somebody who will only buy physical copies unless I can't, I love that. Like, I will... Yeah, yeah. So I'll get, like, the free Xbox Gold games, and I'll play through them a little bit. If I like them, I will go out and buy the physical. Even if I get them for free for digital, I like having that physical permanent thing that I own.
See, now I used to be that way, but I have drastically switched for a couple reasons. Number one,
what made you switch?
Ease, I guess, is the biggest thing. Like convenience, because I mean, outside of the fact, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, because I mean, say again, like I want to play this game that I haven't played for a while, but I own it digitally. Yeah, I will have to download it rather than just, hey, I got to pop this disc in. Mm-hmm. But I have so many fucking game and DVD boxes already, man. I don't have room for more.
In fairness, one of my whole rooms is taken up with shelves.
It's probably bad too, like on Steam. Dude, I think I have over like 200 games on Steam alone.
I think I do, because of all the summer sales and the Humble Bundles. Yeah,
I mean, but again, they're there. They're available whenever I want them, and they're taking up no space.
I will say, when it comes to Steam, I never play those games. I have over 200 games, I think, as well.
Yeah.
I've played maybe 10. Yeah. Because I don't see the cases every day. Like, they are not in my memory. They're not in my brain.
There's a nice little hack you can do on Steam where instead of showing it as a list...
You see the artwork?
Yeah.
I do like that a lot,
That's the way I look at it. And
They do that for the big game mode, because I only play my computer like on my TV.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So do you use your controller, or are you a keyboard mouse guy?
I use keyboard and mouse for RTS, everything, real-time strategy for those who don't know, for everything else. Controller.
So
even a
first person shooter, you're going to go controller.
Yes, I do not like keyboard and mouse for shooters.
I hate keyboard and mouse. And that's,
yeah,
I think that's the one thing that holds me back from PC gaming, because, you know, all my fucking greatest friends that I play games with, especially on PC, they give me shit because I have to play with a controller. And if
they're
the game doesn't
elitist
have controller, they're not elitist.
The PC master race.
But they've grown up with PC games, whereas I've grown up with consoles.
I have, too, though.
It's a comfort
thing,
man. Yeah. I've never played PC games until...
I did. Like, I played Counter-Strike and Half-Life real big, Day of Defeat, when that was like a thing back then. Like, I spent 3-4 years like getting hardcore into mouse, keyboard. I still...
It seems
controller.
So awkward to me, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I'm a kid that I grew up on, like, GoldenEye. That was my very first person shooter. Yeah. And my first big one and the one that changed everything is the one that we'll talk about, Halo.
Yeah.
God, that opened doors for me there. And yep. I think that opened doors for a lot of people. Bungie really showed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll get into that. So, yeah, I'm going to go with my Xbox 360 controller because it also integrates so well. It's a comfortable controller.
It is. Microsoft controllers minus the D-pads, I think, are the most comfortable controllers.
D-pads, yeah. Man. Yeah. I will disagree. I don't think I have had enough exposure to it, but man, that PS4 controller, the DS4, is a very, very nice controller. I fucking love that thing, man, and I wish...
I think it has too many bells and whistles. I don't understand the little touchpad sensor. I think it's just like a needless little dongle added on.
Yeah, I have not yet seen it utilized in a game outside of it's another button. The nice thing is that it has been split. I mean, it is one giant button, but a lot of the games that I've played have split it up into four different sections.
I'm only familiar with the Killzone game, and like you would call like a robot helper depending on how you touch it. And
I mean, in Destiny, all I use it for, you press that to pull up your ghost when you want to leave planets.
No. Okay.
Destiny is another game that I'm sure we'll actually talk about in this episode.
We probably will.
probably a lot. So yeah, that's my answer.
That's a good answer.
I'm going to stick with that. And I'm going to say let's fucking move on with this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and start here.
Please do. And what game are you playing again?
I am playing The Walking Dead Season 1 by Telltale Games.
Yes.
Based on the popular comic and television show about zombies.
Very loosely based on the TV show.
Air quotes, walkers.
Yeah.
Overrunning the world and killing everything and everybody.
Yeah.
It's desolate. It's very
zombie
bleak.
Apocalypse. Yeah. Zombie apocalypse. Where you don't know what happens. You're just thrown in.
So, right. I'm going to start this, and
give some of your history, in case people haven't listened to our top five, because you've had some issues with The Walking Dead.
I've had many, many issues with, and that I will say, unfortunately, will affect my overall score.
Yeah.
And I will take this time to address Telltale Games, who will never, ever listen to my podcast or my feedback. Fix your fucking game.
Yeah.
I struggled so hard to play and experience your game. And I didn't even tell you this, once, not only twice, but a fucking third and fourth time that I will get into. So the first time, I've owned this entire series. My buddy bought it for me years ago when it first released. It was on Steam sale. He bought it for me. I played the first chapter flawlessly. And when I went to start the second chapter... none of the choices that I made stayed with me. So it ruined everything. And no matter what I did, no matter what I read, that wouldn't change.
There is no fix for it.
There is no fix. And even still, I replayed it. I redownloaded it for this podcast. I started it again on my PC, my lovely PC.
Yeah.
My lovely Xbox 360
controller. That's going to replace
consoles
because they're so stable and give perfect same experiences to every single
player. I've never had an issue outside of this one.
I've had so many issues on PC, which is why I'll fight against that any day.
I agree. there are compatibility problems. Yeah. But, so, I started Chapter 1 on my PC, The Walking Dead. I played through it just fine. When I finished Chapter 1, there was a brand new problem that I never experienced. Instead of not saving my choices from the previous chapter, it just didn't load Chapter 2. It would not load Chapter 2, no matter how much. It kept coming to a black screen. I read forums where Telltale employees specifically gave fixes, and I tried every fix.
And nothing.
And I followed this rabbit hole down to where eventually this guy that I was reading about had the exact same issues, and the Telltale employee basically said, maybe try again.
Yeah.
That's all we can advise at this point.
Mm.
So at this point, to get the full experience of this podcast, I went out and I rented this game for the PlayStation 4.
You took one for the team.
You know, it's okay. I didn't mind it. So, picking up, I did not get to transfer all the choices I made from chapter one.
Yeah.
So I will break down chapter one here real quick.
Let's talk about the chapters, because this is a very different type of game.
Yeah, it's experienced in five different chapters. I call it chapters, but it's really referred to as episodes.
The episodes, yes.
Episodes one through five that take place throughout the story. Yeah. It's one continuous story focusing on the character Lee, mm-hmm. who is the main character that you portray, and this young girl named Clementine that you rescue very early in the very first episode, and she sticks with you throughout. And primarily most of the game is about understanding Clementine and keeping Clementine safe.
Yes.
So I'll go ahead and I'll just start breaking into my notes here. My very first note here is Lee drunk or is he just constantly walking on ice?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I have ever played a game where the character falls down more than The Walking Dead. And I have kept a running tally here, and I will go through.
Oh, good.
So right now, in episode one, totally, the times that Lee fell down, six different times.
Yeah.
And I will like to point out, right now, we'll just break here, too.
Yeah.
Heavy spoilers. I'm going to spoil the shit out of this.
We cannot talk about The Walking Dead and why it means so much to me,
but
if we do not spoil
it. Also be spoiler specific to my playthrough, because this is a game based on choice, so my choices affect the outcome.
Yeah.
But that's another problem I also have.
It'll be very different from my choices.
We also will spoil the shit out of Halo. So, spoilers, motherfuckers. Heavy spoilers.
Granted, there's not much to spoil.
No,
there's,
at this point.
It's a Spartan story.
You see what I did there? Story. I did see that. That's very good.
Yes. All right.
So, Lee fell down six times in episode one. And I should also add that each episode averages about 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm. It's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's a self-contained little story.
They go, some of them are shorter, some of them mm-hmm. are, but they're generally about 2 hours long.
Yep.
So, within the space of 2 hours, this fucker fell down six different times.
In fairness,
yes,
and this is something you see in a lot of games, probably not as much as this because it is only story based.
Yeah,
anytime you get quick time events, which The Walking Dead and Telltale heavily focuses on,
very much,
you're gonna have to do these things where it's like he falls down because a zombie grabbed his leg, and then you have to tap a button like for a minute, really quick to get out because it's tense. You get it?
Yeah. Oh, it works.
Yeah.
And then
I did finger quotes there that the audience did not see.
My next note following that is, neat suspense, ?
Yeah.
Have Lee fall down.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what happens every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, here's a zombie at you. You just fell and hit your head. It's crawling at you. You better move quickly. The one thing I did like about this, you know, even if you die...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty quick to just reset everything and let you...
Really close,
yeah.
too. Like the
it doesn't make you go through a
frequent.
Lot of bullshit. It's like, okay, well,
yeah,
that was what could have happened, but here, let's take this. So, I did like that aspect. It doesn't make you replay a lot of bullshit, which is one of my problems with, you know, something we'll get... Mass Effect, the very first one.
Yeah.
And especially early Destiny, they have fixed it now, but I hate unskippable cutscenes, man. They're the worst thing in the world. If I've seen it 40 times, dude, I know what's going to happen. So
yeah, that's true.
So, The Walking Dead, the very first one, I mean, you're in a police car. You've been convicted of murdering your wife's lover, who you caught in the act of adultery.
Yeah.
You murdered him in an act of passion, and you're being transported on your way to prison. And then the zombie apocalypse happens. And
What do you think of this opening? Because I love it.
I like it a lot. It sets a really good tone. I mean, at the beginning, you're driving. You're just in the back of this police car.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you see one police car drive the opposite way. And you have the option to follow it with your view. And then eventually, you know, two cop cars are coming. And then it's like five cop cars, a fire mm-hmm. truck, and a helicopter. And it's subtly showing you that shit is going back. Because you're driving away from the town of Atlanta.
Yep.
Or the city. And so, and all the trucks and all the emergency vehicles are moving towards it. So, mm-hmm. it sets it up really well.
Yeah.
And
I love how you have to make choices and speak on Lee's behalf, even though you don't know his history. So you're trying to be coy and give as little details as you can, and it's a really interesting piece of character.
I wish I would have looked it up, because for the whole game, the guy who did the voice acting for Lee was fucking great, man. I wish I could give him credit. That's something I should have done. I've seen his picture. He's a black dude with giant gray dreads.
I want to say he's Lex Luthor. He plays like Lex Luthor in the animated Supermans.
Okay.
I think. Because I saw like a documentary on these voice actors. He's very fantastic. Good.
He does really well.
Him and Clementine are just amazing.
The only person I think who is better is Clementine. She fucking nails that. Oh my God. Mm. But I'll get more into Clementine. So, you know, and you eventually, I don't know, the time frame of this whole game is kind of wackadoo, though. Because, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you crash, and then it's not really explicit how long you're unconscious for, and you wake up in the back of this police car, and the cop that was transporting you is already turned into a zombie, and there's, like, five zombies in the forest chasing you.
I'm to assume like that unconscious time was just a short bit of time, but if you die, you come back quicker. So like he wasn't like bit or injured. Like that guy in the police car probably died.
Yeah.
So he came back quicker than like. Is he infected? I don't know. Let's wait and find out for hours or days. But
there's a lot of dead people.
Yes.
Really quickly, things really hit the fan
tension.
So I mean, you crawl into the backyard, you meet up with Clementine. Clementine is a 8-year-old girl. She turns 9 during the course of the game.
Saddest birthday ever.
I feel that like I always interpreted that she was half Asian.
Yeah,
that's the vibe I got. But spoilers, you do see her parents later and they're zombies.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see any Asian
features.
They look like two white people.
But I interpreted that way too.
Yeah, she gives us a very half Asian vibe. So yeah. Clementine's a sweet little girl who Lee takes under his wing and decides, I'm going to protect this little girl because her parents aren't here. You go into her parents' house, and I'm assuming you kill the babysitter who's also turned into a zombie at this point. Somebody in the house is a zombie. And then Clementine comes in, and Clementine has a walkie-talkie that she talks to her parents on, or she did. And that also becomes a central point of the game. A big part of the series, I guess, is trust and communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a game, all the gameplay is communication-based, so it really puts an emphasis on that. And I kind of feel the walkie-talkies represent that internally, because she's always trying to communicate with her parents that are lost, who went to Macon, or it's not Macon.
I don't know the specific city.
They went somewhere and bad things happened. You hear them on the
answering machine, right?
Thank you. Yes. So chapter one ends with you ending up in a motel. Well, you spent no. I'm sorry, you're not in the motel. You spent some time in a pharmacy.
Yes.
You end up in a pharmacy that Lee's parents actually owned, and that gets into some of Lee's shit. The parents kind of disowned him after he killed this guy, and
you start to get a little bit more detail on what he may or may not have done.
Yeah, and why he did it.
Yeah.
So
while meeting a bunch of characters in this pharmacy too.
Yeah,
and that's where hold up. The interesting choices come in, where
who to save, things of that nature. And I will say this: there's the girl there that has her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Who's an older fat dude? I forget his name.
But is the girl very aggressive? And the dad's very aggressive.
Yeah,
she becomes
the leader. Yeah.
Yes.
My one note here is the dad with the heart problems, total dick.
Yeah.
We'll let him die at first chance. I fucking hate this guy because he apparently knows who Lee is. He's a hard ass. I get a sort of slightly racial undertone because again, you are a black person playing. Mm-hmm. You are black in this game.
Yeah, there might be some.
That leads us into chapter two.
I think are you introduced to Kenny at this point?
You've met Kenny very, very early on at the farm, in chapter one. I will come back. I will talk about Kenny a lot because Kenny is one of the only characters outside of Clementine that stays with you the whole jog.
Through season two.
Yeah, he stays through season two.
He's a back and forth character. And he's one, too, who, like, I was like, I don't fucking like this guy. And then, like, he comes back. It's like, oh, maybe I was wrong about Kenny.
I will totally agree with you on Kenny, and you'll see that here in a bit. And yeah. I even wrote down a specific note about it.
Good.
So chapter two starts up, and I think it takes place 3 months after the end of chapter one. You've gone to a motel. I should note that the character Glenn from the TV show has made a brief appearance. Yeah. And he leaves at the end of chapter one, episode one.
Is there a Herschel appearance too?
Herschel appears. Yeah.
I think it's only Glenn and Herschel that appear from the show and the comic.
Yeah. Herschel does show. I think he's later on.
He might be later on. I don't remember the timeline very clearly. I'm pretty sure he's the
doctor in chapters four and five.
That might be.
So chapter two picks up 3 months later. There are some new characters already. There's this Air Force guy who's pretty cool. I liked him immediately. Hmm. And I've subtitled chapter two as Never Trust a Dairy Farmer.
Oh.
And this will play into effect. So, chapter two is where my first bad experiences really started, as I said. I could not get my saves to work. And also, at the end of chapter one of my PC game, I will note that I saved Carly and I let Doug die.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started chapter two on the PS4, it has totally reversed that decision. Carly has died, and I'm rolling with Doug now. So
I think you're better off, because I really liked Carly, and the choice she makes made me hate her.
Wow, okay. What is that choice? Spoil it for me.
I think it's probably chapter three. She decides to shoot another party member to help out, and we end up just leaving her on the side of the road and continuing on without her, because I could not keep her along with me anymore after she's becoming like this loose cannon. I just had to let her go.
That's totally...
Oh! No, actually, I think I got that wrong. The girl who has the father, who's the asshole,
that's exactly.
She shoots Carly.
See, in my game, she shot Doug.
She shot Carly. That's what it was, and that broke my heart, because I really like Carly.
I liked Carly, too. I wanted to roll with Carly.
If Doug got shot, I might have been okay
with it. So did Carly get shot saving the young teenager that you meet in Chapter 2? Because Chapter 2 starts off with a bang.
Yeah.
Because you meet two high school kids.
She did not, no.
Okay, and in the beginning of Chapter 2, it starts off, you're in the forest, at least in mine, and you see these two high school kids, and their coach is caught in a bear trap.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to make some decisions because zombies come out, and I cut that dude's fucking leg off.
I love chapter two. I thought that was a great way to start the episode and the whole farm business.
Yeah, that's what I wrote here right now. Nice opening. You cut off the dude's leg. That's fucking brutal. Like,
yeah. You have to make a choice what to do in the situation. Yeah,
so get his leg off
as soon as you can and get him out.
One of the teenage kids dies. The other kid ends up coming with you. I think his name is Ben.
He's a whiny little turd.
He is kind of a turd.
He was one I couldn't wait to let die.
Yeah, I actually rolled with Ben quite hard. I stood up for Ben a lot. So
I did not.
So, you know, you cut off that dude's leg. He eventually becomes a zombie. You kill him later. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of zombies happen, pop up everywhere. And one of the things I liked about it, and it really starts taking effect in Chapter 2, and then it actually kind of dies off as the series goes on, the atmosphere and the foreshadowing are great.
Yeah.
Because when the, again, you know, I wrote Never Trust a Dairy Farmer. When you first meet those two dudes, I was already getting hints that these two dudes aren't fucking great. And the more that you talk to them, and if, this again, you know, this game is all about communication. The more that you talk to these people, you get a weird vibe from them.
Yes, you do.
And eventually, you know, it turns out, holy shit, the dairy farmers and their mom are total pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to kill you. They've actually been killing people. And the dude that you're with that I like, the Air Force guy, he took an arrow earlier, and they fucking cut off his legs and are trying to feed it to you during dinner. Mm-hmm. That you agree to sit down to, which is a problem that you told me.
They're cannibals.
Yeah, they're totally cannibals. But you said you had a huge amount of problem deciding who to sit next to at this dinner.
Now this, all right, this is a different scene. It's from season two when you are Clementine and you're not Lee, what I was talking about. There, because you have some of the people, like Kenny comes back, And then, like, this whole group of other people, like, a new people you just meet. And these new people are super nice. And Kenny's kind of being a dick. But he's also, like, a very sad dick. Like, you feel sorry for him. And you have to either sit with Kenny and make it known, like, you're sticking up for this guy. Or, like, try to make nice with the new people. And I literally just sat my controller down and I was, like, 10 minutes thinking, like, Kenny kind of deserves to be alone. But, man, I can't do that because he's fucking been there from the get-go. And he's obviously important if he's coming. And that decision just, like, drove me crazy. See, this one was not.
I never had that decision at all.
Ooh.
Because Kenny was with me the whole time. I never met newish people.
Yeah.
And I always kind of felt with Kenny because during this entire time, Kenny has his wife and his young boy with him, Duck.
Duck. Doug? Was, Duck?
I
always
called
him Duck.
Yeah, it's Duck. Okay. That's what I always heard it as. And he's the same age as Clementine. So this dude, I mean, he's got a lot of shit he's trying to deal with. So they cut off this dude's legs, right? And they're fucking feeding him to you.
Yes.
At dinner. And you realize it because you sneak away saying you're going to go wash your hands. And you find him. And dude's got, I mean, he's fucking amputated up to the thighs. And it's fucking crazy. And you go down. And, you know, you have a lot of choices in this game. I ended up killing one brother in the barn. I ran him through with a pitchfork. And I wished I wouldn't have done it because apparently Clementine sees you and she starts to get a picture of you that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And then the mother dies by a zombie in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I should say, I decided to let the other brother live by himself at the farm. We just walked away. I was like, you know what? Fuck this guy. And in the end, you know, at one point, the old guy that I hated from the first chapter...
Yes.
...has a heart attack when you get captured in the meat locker. And
is that all that happened?
No, I decided we should try to save him, and Kenny...
Yes, yeah.
...drops a fucking salt block on his head before he turns into a zombie.
This was one of those oh shit moments where I knew I was playing something great was when that happened.
And it's brutal. Like, it shows you right up on his fucking face, just smash, and only his bottom jaw is left there.
I had the same thing. I was like, this guy's been such a dick. He's having a heart attack. Like, I really don't want to save him, but it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
God damn it. And Clementine would want me to. And then Kenny comes out of nowhere with that ice. I was like, okay.
And that's why I wrote down this first note, and I bring it back, and I said, you know, in the end, I tried to save that old dick, and it really says something about the fucking writing, because it still makes you care.
Yes.
Like, this guy's been an asshole to you every second of the game.
Yeah.
And I still wanted to save him for some reason beyond my control.
Yep.
And then at the end of chapter 2, it sets up this big thing that will eventually actually come back to play. You stumble upon this car abandoned in the woods, and it's full of food and provisions, and everybody in the group obviously wants to take it. And Clementine doesn't want you to take it.
So what did you do, Kyle?
I sided with Clementine.
I did too.
I'm a big softie, and I was like, too. No, we're not going to take it, Clementine. We're going to leave it because if we had this stuff, we would hate if somebody stole it from us. So I left it there.
Mm-hmm.
And my last note about chapter 2 is that Lee only fell once in this episode. So
make an improvement.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So... quick right here break. I have got to piss so bad.
Awesome. All right. We'll take a break. It is 38.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. So that is the end of chapter 2. You know, you end up getting whatever you want to do. So, and then chapter 3, it takes place. I mean, you're still in the motel, but provisions are running low. And at this point, I started to notice that the game started to take on a very formulaic role. Like, it started to follow certain patterns, you know, strife, conflict, talk to Clementine, zombies or bandits attack, do something quickly, end of episode.
It's a game, I feel, if you are not wrapped up into it, you can see the strings because it is a very leading game and it is very intent in what it wants to do and it does repeat itself a little bit. I will give you that.
Had I not had such a bad experience with it, I would like to play it again just to see. Because I got a feeling that like after, like, my choices didn't really make as big an impact as the game tries to lead on.
No, they don't.
It's really corralling you still into a certain set of things. Maybe some of the players change, but for the most part...
Well, it's you can illustrate that Doug and Carly choice. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you pick, because in the next episode they're going to die.
Yeah.
By the time you get to episode 5, everything bottlenecks the way Telltale wants it to.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter these choices you've made.
And it's weird. Like,
it's about the experience, though.
Some things that happen that, you know, keep showing up, like Kenny. Kenny is a giant pussy. He keeps not helping me out when after I help him out. Like, he, you know, you're in a moment of struggle, and it zooms in on Kenny's face, and he looks real questionable.
And he freezes, and...
And then he doesn't help you, and you get yourself out of it. That happens time and time again.
But he did help with that ice block.
The salt block at the...
Salt block, yeah.
What I did like is that eventually, you know, I'll spoil it now.
Go for it.
By the time of Chapter 5, I think Kenny comes full circle. At a point, I think it's in this one. Yeah, in Chapter 3, Kenny's wife and child... fucking die.
Yes.
Duck ends up getting bitten by a zombie, and his wife, unable to deal with the stress and the pressures, shoots herself. And, you know, you have the choice to have either Lee or Kenny shoot Duck, and I was like, fuck, dude. I mean, it's like, you know, if you get a dog with rabies, if it's your dog, you got to put it down, man. If it's your kid, you got to put it down, man. I'm not going to shoot your kid for you.
Really?
So I had Kenny shoot his own kid.
I shot Kenny's kid.
You did.
I shot Duck.
Yeah. So that might have affected...
Because it's nicer for him not to let him...
I don't see. And again, you know, I put, you know, with old Yeller, when old Yeller got fucking bit, man, the boy is the one that took him out, because he's this fucking dog, man. That's the way you do it. Mm-hmm. You are the one that makes that decision, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I try to be, like I said, altruistic. That's how I play all these choice games. I try to do the right decision.
And that's where I guess I kind of like it. And that, you know, for me, the right decision was like, hey, man, this is your kid. I cannot shoot your kid, even though he's dying. You have to do this. Like,
that's fair.
So, I mean, Chapter 3 is kind of a filler chapter. Not a lot happens.
That's the one where they ride on the train?
Yeah, you start the train up and you move it towards... Savannah, actually.
Really, the only thing of consequence on that one is you teaching Clementine some survival skills.
Yeah, you give her some advice, you cut her hair, you teach her to shoot a gun, which will, spoilers, come back. We'll call it a callback. So that's Chapter 3. Nothing. It's kind of a filler episode. It is right in the middle, so, you know. Chapter 4, you end up in Savannah. I said this game starts to get very formulaic, and it continues to in the fact that, like, it's going to introduce a character to you, and I bet you that character is going to die. Holy shit, they die.
Yeah.
Your core group is pretty much going to stay around with you till the end. I wrote it in Chapter 3. I read it again in Chapter 4. Ben is a little bitch. I was telling you this earlier. I wrote down here, I'm in a very love-hate thing with Kenny. Like...
Yeah, that's... I was, too.
Like...
Though, towards the end, I'd hate it again.
Lee falls one time. I think that puts us up to 9 times, or 8 or 9 in the whole series that he's fallen.
Yeah.
To add drama. I saved Ben again, because at this point, he's the one that... he blames himself for killing Kenny's wife and son, because he was paying off bandits in Chapter 2. And he finally decides to tell Kenny that it was him.
Which I thought was a cool aspect of Chapter 2, was that mystery, trying to figure out who's the mole, who's the
giving
rat.
Out the rations.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at this point, Ben feels intense grief.
Yeah.
And he tries to kill himself. And
just let him. I let him.
You let him. See, I saved him to no avail, because he dies in Chapter 5. But I did
and
save
that's again
him.
The choices. If you don't kill him now, he's gonna die in the next chapter, so.
Yeah, but you know, I again, back to us doing the right things, I thought, you know, yeah, he fucked up, but he confessed to it, he admitted to it. I'm not gonna let him die, so.
I slipped, because he was really annoying me by this time, and I had a dark side moment.
So Chapter 4 ends with the
great,
this is what I really liked, and I wrote this down. Lee gets fucking bit, which
yes
as I've explained in our kind of breakdown of movies, I like it when the hero doesn't win. And as soon as Lee got bit, I was on board because I'm like, well, you get bit by a zombie, there's no fucking coming back. You are going to die. You're going to become a zombie. So I like that. And I kind of had the feeling that Lee could not go on throughout this whole game. He's got to die. That's got to be his, I mean, you're the sacrifice for Clementine. You sacrifice so Clementine can continue. So I kind of picked up on that early. And once he got bit, I was like, okay, of course, it had to happen. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I appreciate that. I like a story, again, where the good guy doesn't win.
Yes.
So chapter five, so it starts off, you know, you got bit at the end. And I wrote down my number one note here is that it worked for Ash. It's going to work for Lee. Cut the arm off. I cut that fucking arm off.
Yes, I did too. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know what the difference it makes on keeping it or cutting it off.
Well, I know for sure in the comics, they keep it kind of vague, but they answered it in the show, which I'm not fucking a fan of. Yeah, but
spoilers,
Herschel cuts his leg off in the show and he's fine. There's no more zombie virus after he gets bit. But in the comic, it's left vague because that person dies really quick afterwards, so you never find out.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it worked in the show. I'm going to cut the arm off. Of course it's going to get better. And it doesn't.
No, it I don't know if it slows it down or whatever, but anyways, you spend the rest of chapter 5 without an arm, which I did. It's pretty heavy shit. I liked it. Did you
keep track of him falling down in this chapter? Because thought he might have fallen down a lot more.
You said that, but I only documented one more time.
Ah, okay.
Like, he fell down the most in the first chapter, and then it was like one or two times throughout the rest of the other chapters. So
it's not so bad.
Not too bad. So what I liked about chapter 5 is that Kenny also comes full circle. He's been full of hate, a very remorseful dude, and at one point, you're jumping across buildings, and I saved Ben, and Ben is the one that fell down.
Oh.
He was the last one to jump across, and he falls, and he gets impaled on a piece of broken scaffolding. And you and Kenny run down from the roof to try to go save him, and then Kenny locks you out. He pushes you behind a gate and shuts his gate as walkers are closing in on you from both sides. And the one thing that Ben is terrified of is becoming a walker. Kenny has one bullet left. So he takes Ben out in a mercy killing. He shoots him and then gets eaten by zombies.
Presumably.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it continues. I probably will not play chapter 2.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to ruin it. He lives no matter what you do in season 2.
Really?
And the whole arc is you're kind of trying to vouch for Kenny because he's the only person who survives from the original group.
Outside of Clementine.
Yes, because you are Clementine in season 2. So you're trying to vouch for him and try to get him in, but he's becoming more and more unhinged. He's doing really weird things. He's like taking dumb chances. Like, he's reckless. He's just really bad. So like the final arc of season 2 is, as Clementine, you have to put Kenny down.
Wow.
And you make this horrible, horrible choice.
Because the final arc of season 1 is you have the option to put Lee down.
Yeah.
So that's where it ends. Like, well, before I get to that though, the ultimate, as you come into Savannah, you find out that somebody has been talking to Clementine on this walkie-talkie. You don't know who, but he knows who you are, primarily probably through Clementine talking to him, and he doesn't like you. And he eventually kidnaps Clementine sometime through chapter 5, and it turns out it's the guy that owned the car that your rest of your team robbed from at the end of chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's very fucking insane.
Yes.
He's had a lot of marital problems, and his wife has turned into a zombie, and he has her head in a bowling ball bag.
Yes.
And he constantly talks to her.
Still alive, moving around.
Yeah. She's a zombie.
Not alive,
head.
It's
yeah,
dead, but
she's
still
a zombie
moving
head, but
and
she's,
animated.
She's still growling in this fucking zombie bag, and he talks to her, and it's, I really like that part. That part was fucking creepy as hell, dude.
Yes. This scene reminded a lot of people of The Matrix Reloaded when Neo meets
the architect.
Yes. And I was like, yeah, I see that, but I fucking think this succeeds, whereas that scene in Matrix Reloaded
is very confusing.
Not succeed.
It's very confusing. Yes. Yeah, and we'll get into that because Matrix.
Yeah,
is my
I love this. I'm glad you like this because
I love this. This is my favorite part of the entire game where
they
have this sit
down.
I thought
you were gonna have an issue. It's mine too.
No.
Hands Chapter down. 5 makes the whole game for me.
Working
this is
up
why
to this part
it.
Where yeah. you find out, like, when I was walking into the hotel and I saw the car, I was like, holy shit, it's Car Guy from fucking season yeah. 2. Because, you know, I played these right, one after another. I went right through. So yeah. I was
Which
able
is
to
why
pick
I did
up on
too.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy fuck, it's the Car Guy. That's, and I even wrote down, I was like, what a fucking callback.
Yeah.
Car Guy is yeah. the asshole that's kidnapped her. So, you know, I killed him. We went through it. Clementine helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, you're trying to escape with Clementine, and you know the sickness just it gets too much for Lee, and you have the choice to either leave him, or to shoot him and put him out of his misery. And I put him out of his misery. I shot him as Clementine.
Yes, I did too.
Because that's again going back to Old Yeller. That's what you would do. You don't yes. want him to suffer.
This seems so heartbreaking.
It's very
it destroyed
fucking good,
me.
Man.
Yeah.
It's very good. Like
it's written and acted. So well, like
it's the only redeeming quality of this game. That's the I liked Chapter 5 for that, and you know I'm pretty harsh because of my preconceived notions of difficulty playing it. But
yes.
Chapter 5 was really well done.
Yeah,
and so then you take over as Clementine.
The game fucking nails the ending.
Yeah,
and it leaves you on a high, which is a good thing because
yeah. it gives you hope. Yeah. There's an after the credits scene where Clementine is sitting by herself next to a fence. And she sees two figures very far away. You don't know who they are, if they're walkers. The scene ends with them seeming to turn and also notice Clementine.
Yeah, yeah.
And her being worried, and then it fades. And that I liked it.
Yeah.
That part was, it was good. I wouldn't say it was worth it, you know?
But not enough to make you do season two and carry on Clementine's story.
I might at some point. Right now, I'm over the Walking Dead game.
Okay.
I will end with my final thoughts, what I'm calling it. You know, I have a good and bad. The good is that it was an engaging story.
I think it's one of the best stories.
It was very well written. Mm-hmm. I liked it. It made me want to keep going as much as the problems that I had with the game.
Yes.
Which
has been noted not just by you. A lot of people have issues with Telltale games. And it's I get it because it is about the story. And if that story makes up for the lack of game and like the issues, then you are on board. You love it. You're a fan. But I also don't begrudge anybody who doesn't
like. I like, too, that, you know, another good point is that you might have to work for it. It might be a little ham-fisted, but there is definite character development.
Yes.
All the characters go through some sort of change, some sort of something. I like that. They're not just stereotypical.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing about the game is that it captures the brutal harshness of what I imagine an actual zombie apocalypse would do. And the fact that anybody can fucking die at any time. Nobody was safe. Mm-hmm. Everybody was at risk. The bad, my number one issue, it is buggy. It can fucking punish you for trying to play it the way you want to play it.
In fairness, I will say I've not had any issues with bugs
glitches. I didn't bring it up, but I will go back to it. In Chapter 4, the game broke for me again.
What happened?
On the PlayStation 4 version.
Oh, man.
And the fact when you're escaping from the school that you're stuck in, you have to jump two buildings. The only fix that I could find online, there is one section of dialogue where you have to not choose an option. You have to let the game not let Lee answer, because if you answer and then he jumps across and gets saved by this other character, my game glitched out and it just immediately warped me back into the school instead of playing a cutscene. And that happened time and time again. And I had to read on the forums what to do, and they said, well, you have to rewind and just not answer anything, and then it works. So
that's
again,
weird. Yeah,
it's so weird, and the way that this game breaks, it really hinders it, man.
It does, because it's a narrative, cinematic experience. So when you get something like this, it takes you out of the experience.
Exactly, so bad. Yeah. And my other bad thing is that sometimes I feel again, my choices didn't really matter. So it wouldn't matter what the hell happened. So it kind of takes the weight and the.
I will say though, I don't think there has been a game where your choices really do matter.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Because Mass Effect's the same way. I think Heavy Rain's the same way. It's
what I like
branching
about
paths that all just come back together.
Heavy Rain is that, and I think this part, this game has it too, where like a character can die in Heavy Rain and the game continues. It's not going to stop you from continuing. It's not going to make you replay it. It's just going to go on.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get that character's part anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I do too. It's a nice finality.
That happens in this game, except for with Lee, up until the point where Lee is supposed to die.
Yes. So, yeah.
Overall, I would not put it in my top 5 or 10.
That's understandable.
But I, again, you know, I'm biased because I think I had so many buggy experiences.
Yeah.
It was fun when it was working. I enjoyed it. I wanted to continue finding out what was going to happen. So it's a hit or miss for me. I mean, it's...
That's at fair.
At points, it was a definite grind. So,
okay. Well,
that is my final conclusion on it.
It's a grind.
On it, so.
It's a grind. On a scale from 1 to grind, where would you rate it? It was a grind.
Definite grind. Yeah. Yes.
You had a lot of hiccups and troubles with it, so yeah. I completely understand. Yeah. So that's A-okay, because now we are going to talk about Halo Combat Evolved.
Yes.
And much the same, I had a fucking struggle / almost miserable time with this game.
I can understand that. And before you even get in, let me take a guess at why. And I know exactly why. And you haven't even told me. This is
okay. We have not talked about this yet.
Level design.
That is a big part of it.
God, it is atrocious.
That is a very big part of it.
Fully admit. Yeah. I fully admit.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go real quick into my experience with Halo, because I think you said this is the reason you bought the Xbox. It is the same for me.
Yeah.
I bought an Xbox because I played Halo on a friend's console, and I fell in love, and I went out like that weekend and bought one because I just had like my part-time job at 16. I was like, I have to fucking get this game.
Same thing.
And I loved it. Me, my mom, me, my sister played through it together in co-op. We all fucking loved it. And I actually think that's a big issue why going back now, I don't fucking like it. And that's, I'm just going to go out and say it. I used to think I loved this game. I don't think I like it. Hmm. I think Bungie has an issue with their design.
Yeah, I will agree with you there.
Yes.
Even tying it into Destiny now, Bungie does some things fucking phenomenally.
They do.
And they fucking stumble so hard on others.
I agree.
And that, but continue, please.
Yes. Yeah. So my biggest issue, going back, and I played the anniversary edition on the 360, which Kyle so generously lended me. And I really like, there was even no need for it. Cause what I did was I played a little bit, like maybe 3 or 4 minutes of each level with like the new enhanced graphics, and then immediately switched back.
Cool.
Because the level design is fucking horrible. It is just big open fields or labyrinthian, like maze like environments with repeated textures, repeated designs. Like I swear to fucking God, there's like one level midway through the game where you're going through a corridor, and it's not just like you're going through a corridor that kind of looks the same. You make the same fucking turns. Like, you turn left 2 times, you turn right once, you turn left once, and you do that pattern 10 times in a row.
So is that in the Covenant ship, or is that...
This is in...
is it the library?
It is actually... Oh my God, it's the library with the flood coming in.
The library.
Oh my God. And let me tell you, there is a specific fucking line of dialogue that Guilty Spark says. And he says, like, one gate down, 9 to go. And I was like, fucking, I cannot fucking do this. I cannot put up with this 9 more fucking times. It is. Oh God.
So it was a grind, I would say.
It was miserable. And I think what it is, I found out co-op. Co-op fixes this game.
It makes it way more fun to suffer it with a friend, and maybe that's something we should have done. I would have suffered through this game with you, and maybe we could do it again and revisit this game at some point.
I would love to,
because that would be cool.
But I thought back and I was like, I don't remember the game being this poorly designed AI wise, and the checkpoints are kind of it's funny because you were talking about how the checkpoints aren't bullshit in Walking Dead, and as soon as you did, I had to write down, checkpoints are bullshit in Halo.
Yeah.
So how it works is if you hit a checkpoint, and the checkpoints are very infrequent, like 15 to 20 minutes in between checkpoints.
Yeah, they're very weirdly paced.
And Bungie, like, doesn't know how to, like, flow their difficulty. So, like, it's really, really easy. And then you get fucking stuck. At the end of 15 minutes, like, you get, like, 2 brutes, 3 or 4 different, like, elites or covenant elites, and, like, all this stuff. And, like, if you mess up, you lose that 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you'll do this over and over again. In co-op, if you die, your partner just has to live and go a little bit out of the way of the fight, and then you respawn.
They have to run away from the fight and get out of the... I will say, you know, it is widely considered that the library level of Halo 1 is one of the worst design levels of all time.
It is.
You do have to suffer and grind through that level. It is atrocious. And Bungie is not known for their level design. I fully admit, you know, this game made my top five not because of its stellarness.
Yeah.
And I probably cheat a little bit because we didn't experience this either. A big part of what I remember about this game is my hours and hours of multiplayer.
Well, I can talk on that, too.
Yeah, we could totally talk on that, because I used to play the fuck out of this game multiplayer.
Yeah, I did, too, and I loved... You mentioned, like, you had parties where you all bring, like, your Xboxes and TVs and hook up, like, four or five different systems.
Yeah.
And do 16-player multiplayer matches. Amazing. Yeah. Lots of fun. Going back now, it's just so dated. The anniversary edition, I guess, has like Xbox Live component where you can play the original Halo maps online with other people, and it is not fun anymore.
Really?
Because the maps are poorly designed. Now going back, those original Halo ones, aside from like Beaver Creek, I think that one's still fantastic, and then Blood Gulch, still amazing maps.
Those are the two most famous maps,
because they're well designed.
Yeah,
but it really, like, every match devolves into who can get the rocket launcher first. Who can get the sniper rifle first, and that's the team that wins.
Well, and, you know, Halo is the most powerful gun in this game.
It's a pistol.
Is the starting pistol.
Yeah.
That fucking gun wrecks, especially in multiplayer. It has a zoom. I think it can take a person out with three shots if you hit all to the head.
Yeah, it's overpowered for sure.
It will fucking wreck. And almost every time now, still replaying this game, I keep the pistol with me the entire game.
Oh, I dropped the assault. Well, I don't. That's a fucking lie. Because the flood comes in halfway through, and then you can't use a pistol anymore because it's just swarms of unintelligent AI that just follow you. They just zoom in on you like a homing beacon. And let me tell you, that was the most disappointing, because I was like, Halo, I remember being a great game, but then like the last like two levels are a flood, and I don't like that. No! Fucking halfway through, there are 10 levels, and like on level 6 you get the fucking flood, and they are obnoxious. I hated the flood, and it's more the game than I remember.
The flood, they are, for people who, I don't know who has not played Halo, but for people who haven't, they are a zombie like race of almost, I guess, a fungus spore that infects other species, and it's like those ants that become mind controlled by this fungus.
I was going to say, it reminds me a lot of like the Last of Us kind of.
Yeah, very much like that too. It's a fungus almost that takes over. They start off as little face hugger types, and then you eventually fight all the characters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They can become flood infected, be it Marines, elites, grunts, everything. So I get what you're saying. I mean, when I first experienced the flood, though, I thought it was fucking crazy, because
I think
up
it
until
is a great
point,
narrative twist. I think it's a great narrative twist.
Bungie nails so hard story and lore,
and they do it in a way that it doesn't hit you over the head. They are very subtle in their storytelling, and I do appreciate that, because I don't want to just shit on Halo for 20 minutes. They do story so well. You are right.
They not only story, but just, Like you said, the things that you don't pick up on, there's so much background lore in Halo and in Destiny that unless you go looking for it, it's very much like Dark Souls. Like, there's so much more under the surface, this rich history that, sadly, that most people will never experience.
I mean, think that's pretty, that's a fine line through all of your games, are stories that don't tell you everything that you have to dig in. Like, your top five games, I think you can make a case that all of them feature that. They're not overly narrative, but that narrative's in the background.
I would disagree on the fact of Metal Gear Solid only.
That's the only
one.
But
even that, there's still a lot there that you wouldn't pick up on, except for on multiple playthroughs. And that's maybe me. One of my favorite things, you know, I think I told you, even our movie things, is as soon as I watch a movie, I love to go to IMDb.
Yes.
I love to research things that interest me. I love getting those little nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, me too.
One of the things with Halo, like, you know, the Flood, the entire purpose of a Halo is the fact that this great ancient civilization built these giant rings that are massive.
The Forerunners? Yeah, is that right?
Okay. These are massive extinction devices designed to take out the Flood should they get a foothold in the universe, because the Flood are an ever-increasing threat and mm-hmm. presence that will just decimate civilizations and planets if they are left unchecked. And yeah. I love that. And most people think Halo's about flying around on purple little ghost ships and shooting nope. aliens. There's so much more to it than that.
There is. There is.
But the things that Bungie does well, again, you know, the level design. There's an, I forget what level it is, and I should have replayed this, but there's a level that takes place on a Covenant ship that is it's the exact same as the library, whereas it's the same texture.
It is, I think, the third stage.
Where you have to rescue Captain Keyes, I think?
Yes.
Yes. God, dude, it's, I know what you're saying. It is atrocious.
It's
trying
bad.
To navigate anywhere. And this was before.
And like, more so, I will say, too, not only is it just repetitive in that, like, literally the last five levels, you are revisiting the same exact levels in yeah. reverse.
Yeah.
So level 6 is just level 5. Level 7 is just level 4. And like, fucking mind blowing is that apparently they wanted to have 25 levels. I could not fucking handle it if there were 15 more levels and they had the repetition they did here. I think looking back now, I can see maybe the development cycle rushing this for the Xbox to get it out.
That's another thing I wanted to talk about.
I don't think they had time to really polish.
I wonder how much of what happened is a budget thing.
I think a lot.
Because one thing that Bungie is, they are an incredibly ambitious studio. They fucking mm-hmm. see this giant picture. And a lot of times it doesn't fully come together. To time,
I was gonna say that's money. You're describing the Destiny launch. Like people had so many high expectations, and they were promising more than they could deliver.
Yeah,
rightfully well, so I mean, because they were trying a lot.
Problems with Destiny, and this is coming as a massive Destiny.
Yeah,
like God, but
I will say I am a giant Halo fan. I just want to point that out there. Like, yeah. I'm going to get Halo 5 in 2 weeks. I'm super excited.
I'm upset that I won't because I don't own an Xbox One yet. I plan to.
You should.
Just for Halo 5 because, nice. You know, I want to bring this back. I am such a massive Halo fanboy. For being a PlayStation guy,
yeah,
I love the environment that Halo brings with it. I absorbed everything. Like, I have the Halo graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot explain how much I love this series. I played it so much. So much of my time was devoted to Halo, and Halo yes. 2 especially.
Yeah, Halo 2 is probably where I spent my most time, because that was when they started the Xbox Live multiplayer,
yeah.
and I lost so many hours into that. But
so as a Halo 1 guy, did you ever connect your Halo to GameSpy and trick it into thinking that it was locally aired?
I did in college, yeah. That's freshman year before Halo 2 came out. We did that
so much, dude. Yeah. Because I loved the multiplayer. I loved playing it that way. So
yeah. Let me do a positive.
Yeah, let's get the positive.
Let me do a positive. Okay. I don't have many. I think, like you said, the story's great, and I do like their subtle storytelling. Though their cutscenes are horrible now, I really cannot.
Yeah.
Like they're very dry, and they are.
Yeah.
They are exposition heavy and not exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That's just a little critique about the story, but otherwise, I think their story is very good. The gunplay is so smooth and great.
That is the absolute best thing Bungie does, man. Like
at the end of the day, you have a great gameplay mechanic. You have a great structure. Just want some levels designed around it and some enemy balance a little bit better. But the Silent Cartographer, this is the Halo level that is, I think, best known. This is the one where you come in on the dropship onto the planet.
Yeah, it's like
you see Halo
D-Day, almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you go in, and that's where you first find the elites with the swords, and that level, I think it's like 4 or 5. It's right in the middle and it's right before Flood. It's so good.
Yeah.
And then you're just in for shit after that. It just gets rough after that. But that level, I was like, I remember loving this game. And that's why I don't want to be too harsh on it. Because all of that nostalgia and love came back in that one level.
And, you know, Halo brought a lot of crazy, weird things to it that you hadn't seen a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it brought along this active camouflage mechanic where you could go fully invisible that really only Metal Gear Solid and the Predator movie had fully tried to realize. You know,
yeah.
this whole invisible enemies thing. And you fight enemies that have that too. And seeing that in first person... trying to follow where this rippling movement is going.
Yeah.
Halo.
But also, one hit kills, and if you didn't get a checkpoint soon, it fucking sucks if you're playing by yourself.
It punishes you. Yeah. It is not a great... It tries to make you work for things that eventually become annoying. Yeah. It's like skippable cutscenes.
Yeah.
And before big fights. Annoying. I get you, man. I'm not disagreeing.
I agree. Yeah.
This game brought about sticky grenades.
The
ability
the plasma
to
grenades
stick
were
a grenade
so
to somebody.
Fun.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It changes.
And going back this time, I think when I first played Halo, I never really used the Covenant weapons. I always just try to get the shotgun or the pistol and just stick with those. That's what I try to do most of this time, was let's play with that plasma rifle. Let's use the plasma pistol and charge it up and actually use it. Like, the Needler has become my favorite fucking gun, and I always laughed at that and joked about it.
It gets worse as the series go on. It's great in Halo 1,
yeah.
And then it just becomes a joke.
Okay.
The whole thing I always learned early on with Halo was you get to carry 2 guns max.
Yes.
It's always best to carry a Covenant and a human weapon because the Covenant weapons are great at bringing down overshields.
Mm-hmm.
The human weapons are great at doing massive damage. My number one combo in Halo and Halo 2 was to carry the plasma pistol because you can charge it up and it sort of tracks when it's charged up.
And then you switch to the assault rifle real quick and do a headshot.
See, I don't do assault rifle. I would do the pistol.
Well, yeah.
And I, you know, that's a one-shot kill. And then once you get into Halo 2, it was more of the battle rifle combo.
And
the plasma pistol.
The battle rifle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you shoot that and drop their shields. One burst with the plasma or the battle rifle. Boom.
Yeah.
Killed. Done. It's great in the fact that it wants you to mix things up. What I like about the plasma rifle that a lot of the elites use, especially in multiplayer, is when it's automatic. And when people are getting hit by it, they're not running at full speed anymore. They're slowed down. They can't escape.
It's a good team play mechanic.
Yeah, and they're stuck at your mercy. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. unless they get lucky, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, because they can't move. I like that about it. There's a lot of dynamics in the weapons. And
that's where the multiplayer... what you remember about Halo is the multiplayer is so good and varied because of all those weapon combinations and the experimentation. Sadly, I don't think the single player promotes that as much as it should.
Not as much. In single player, I would try to go through the entire game.
They do fix later because, like, the brutes come in. Are they the brutes? The monkey
brutes.
Ape-like
yep,
creatures?
That's
yeah.
brutes.
All right. So then they come in, and then you have to use, like, the Needler, like, their little weapons to get them and, like... They work on the variety of how you take down enemies later, but...
The weapon variety is fantastic, and...
I agree.
For the most part, no weapon is bad. They all have their... uses and their ununses, I guess.
Yes.
That's a very bad way to say that, but, like, they all have their strengths and weaknesses, that's what I'm trying to say, against different enemy types.
I think that gets lost later on. I think in the later Halo games, you can
flood.
Say there are bad weapons.
Yeah.
But in Halo 1, I don't think there are. I think they're all perfectly balanced.
What I love in the Halo series, especially, the shotguns are always top notch.
They are satisfying to shoot.
They are brutal.
They are.
Brutal efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, they're real good.
I can remember playing, you know, many, many Halo 1 16-player Killfest. My buddy Andy would constantly, all he would do, he would get the shotgun and run around and one-shot you. And you would get pissed because he would yell out, "Buck! Buck!" every time he killed a different person. And it made it especially bad when he'd kill four and he's yelled out,
buck, buck, buck.
And then, well, then he gets you two and he's like, buck, motherfucker. And it's like, God, man, who's going to fucking stop this asshole?
No one.
No. I understand. You know, I totally agree with what you're saying. Halo is not a perfect game.
It's not. I understand. I understand exactly why it's on your list.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say because I don't want to be too negative. I don't want to end this on a negative note, but
no, I mean
it was a grind.
Yeah.
And it's not like there were buggy issues or anything. It's like I think this game has become dated.
It has. Oh, absolutely.
And this is because I've just recently went through Halo 4 and Reach like maybe a month or two ago.
Okay.
So like I am like very fresh on the new Halo and like the evolutions it's made that it feels very dated. And sadly, I couldn't put this in
fair enough
any top list.
I will admit it survives on me probably 75% of nostalgia.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Which is fair.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
It's fun to play somewhat. I appreciate you grinding through the whole game. I don't know if I could grind through the whole game. So
like I said, I also think it would be a lot of fun with another person too.
Yeah.
This is some drinks and playing in co-op. Perfect way
to play
Halo. That
is something that we will do. We will probably do a Halo Combat Evolved Revisited co-op. So
I would like that.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that I would look out for that. That I think we will do that in the future. So as a whole, I get we both don't agree with the placement of these two games, which is great. That's what I wanted. I wanted a little conflict.
We were both very positive about the movies last week, and this week it's been a grind.
That's probably because we have to experience this media more. We're more involved with it, and I like that. So
yeah.
I'm glad we're getting some grind in here. So.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be the last of the grind.
No,
that's not a spoiler. That's not me looking ahead.
No,
it's just guaranteed there's going to be grind more in the future. So.
So, you know, again, I think we'll go ahead and probably end here.
I think that's a good place.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about what we want to talk about, and I don't know what else to say. I mean, we've said it. We don't agree with these placements, and that's fine. It's not your placement. You wouldn't put Halo on the top five. I do for my own reasons. So, again, you know, same thing with The Walking Dead. I don't agree with it. I kind of understand why you do. So.
Yeah, and that's vice versa the same way. Like, I get it. It would not be that way for me, but I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's good.
It's respect. But also,
I can't wait till the day where we get to one where the other person just does not have any clue as to why the other person likes it.
It might happen.
It might.
But
fingers crossed that...
You know, The Walking Dead, God, it was... Sometimes we're rough, man. And I know you had it with Halo, too. So
I did.
I appreciate you going through it. Let's handshake right here.
We are handshaking.
Right here, right? Shake,
there's
shake,
gonna
shake.
There's going to be video. Maybe not.
So that's where we'll end it. So, you know, check him out if you want to. Again, this was The Walking Dead Season 1 and Halo Combat Evolved.
I will say Walking Dead is free for Xbox Live Gold members this month. So
The month of October.
Yeah, the month of October. Season 1.
We should date that.
It's free. So, yeah, so this has been The Experience Grind. I have been Ryan Demarest with your host,
Kyle Collins.
Thank you, as always, for joining us. You can catch us at experiencegrind.com. Please feel free to find us on Facebook at Experience Grind Podcast and send any comments, concerns, you know, whatever you want our way at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
We also really like dick jokes, so send those.
Love dick jokes.
So,
yes.
Thank you guys.
Not dick pics.
No, not dick pics.
Dick jokes.
Really, really want to emphasize not dick pics, please.
I would not be a happy camper.
But thank you guys, and you know, stick around. We'll check you next week. The next episode will be on movies again. I will be watching The Incredibles for you, and you will be watching...
I can't remember.
I think it's Drive.
I think it is Drive this time.
I think
time.
It's Drive, my fourth favorite movie. Yeah, yes. It's our fourth favorite movie.
Fear and Loathing is number three.
Yes.
You're right.
So
I will be watching Drive.
Yeah, Incredibles and Drive. It should be a very interesting conversation. I could not think of two more drastically different movies.
They are so
movies.
Different. But, one, I don't think there will be a lot of grinding for either one of us.
No, I don't think so.
No.
So stick around. Thank you, guys. This is the Experience Grind Podcast. And don't fuck yourself.
Or not. Don't go fuck yourself.
Yeah, either way.
Come back and
we'll
be like you. Yeah.